So, man, this has been quite a journey since I stepped up here the first time. So the first time I ever stepped up here was 2022, December 3rd. So it's almost been a full year since I first preached. But I preached this is my third time to preach. And so, my math don't math right. We're right. It's a good thing I'm a preacher, not a mathematician. Right, so as we come up on 2025, right, this right here is one of my favorite weekends. Right, we're past the Christmas time, we're past New Year's, and this is finally where we kind of get to go. Whew, take a break for a second before we really kick off into what 2025 has for us. And so, this is the weekend that we really get to think about what's coming next. Right, we get to prayerfully ask God, "Hey, what do you have planned for me in 2025?" And as I was writing this sermon, I was thinking about the things last year that we had no clue that were going to happen. The things that we couldn't have planned for, the things that just popped up on us. But as this year begins, I'd like to start by not what we do or don't know about what's going to come this next year, but about what God knows for us. And so it's the famous verse, you may have all heard it, it's Jeremiah 29:11. It's a God says, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." So in all the unknowns of this next year that lays out in front of us, hey, we don't have to worry about that. God's got a plan for us, no matter what. So I wanted to talk for a few minutes today of what we can do to make the new year new. Right? The saying's Happy New Year, right? It's not Happy Same Year. Right, but for a lot of us, we end up living the same year over and over and over again. Right, so how do we make it a new year? The thing we're going to look at today is one of the keys of living a new year is asking ourselves the right questions for the new year. And so what are the right questions? What can we ask? And you see, this is one of my favorite things about the Bible. Right, the Bible challenges us to ask the right questions. Right, we ask all kinds of questions about the new year and certain circumstances, but the Bible has a way of challenging us to ask questions that go to the heart of who we are and to ask questions that go beyond the surface. And my prayer for this last few weeks going up to this message has been, you know, Lord, you know what the questions are. You know what we need. You know better than anybody else. So what are the right questions, and only you can point us to those right questions. There's a hundred different questions we could ask out of the Bible, and they're all good, but I've narrowed it down to just three. And so the simple three questions for this next year, number one is, what do I need to put off, and what do I need to put on? And all these questions are from verses in the Bible. And so what do I need to put off and what do I need to put on? Sometimes we start the new year, we got all these questions for businesses, ourselves, our families, but what I like about this question is that the Bible asks, what do you need to put off and what do you need to put on? It's about me. What do I need to put off and what do I need to put on? Right? It's about what change needs to happen in my life. Right? Ephesians 4:22-24 is one of the places that we find this question in the Bible. It says, "You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off the old self, which is being corrupted by deceitful desires, and be made new in the attitude of your minds, and put on the new self created to be in like God's true righteousness and holiness." Right, as the Bible talks about this picture, it's making me think of a shirt, right? An old shirt. Right, you take off the old shirt and you put on a new shirt, right? But if you try to put new clothes on over the top of old clothes, right, they don't fit right, right? And if you try to just take off your old clothes, you're walking around naked, and that's not good either, right? So you have to take off the old and put on the new, right? It's a process. They have to work simultaneously, right? If you just take off the old, you leave this empty space that is in your life, and it gets filled up with the same bad thing that you took out or a new bad thing. And so I'll give a little example. So say you want to stop being angry, right? You can't just say, well, I'm just going to stop being angry, right? You have to take out the old, which is stop being angry, and you have to put in the new. So when you stop being angry, you start being grateful, right? It's a process. And so, right, it sounds simple, but like you, I've gotten tripped up on it multiple times, right? So I wanted to give you a picture of what I'm talking about. Could you grab one? I am a visual person, a visual learner, hands-on learner. And so I have two things. And so we start this new year. We came through this old process of the, I like to call it the season of sugar, right? We go through Thanksgiving to Christmas to New Year's, and we have all this sugar that we really need to get out of our house, right? It's like, yeah, I'm done. I'm over it. And so you can obviously see what I'm going to use as the old thing and what I'm going to use as the new thing, right? And so if we want to change, we have to start something new, right? But if I'm stuck on the old thing and I'm like, well, you know, I'm not going to eat this cake. I'm not going to touch it. Man, it smells good. Got an Oreo on top. I could just grab that Oreo and I'd be good. Like I wouldn't hurt the cake. I could just grab it. But when you're stuck over here in the old, right? You might not be eating it, but you're in the world of cake. Right? You're stuck in the bad. And some of us, we're really good at saying no. Right? But even though, no, I'm not going to eat it. Man, it looks good. Man, hey, you could have a piece, and I could watch you eat it, but I'm not going to eat it, right? And we get stuck on the pride of saying no, right? But even though we're saying no, we're still in the world of cake, right? We're still stuck over here on this side, right? The old that we need to put off, right? And to make it where we don't get stuck over here anymore, we have to turn around and walk over here to the other side. And when we get over here, right, we're in a completely different place now, right? Even though we can get back over there, right, we're in a completely different place now. We have to put off the old and put on the new, right? And the new sometimes doesn't feel quite right, right? And so we could talk about that a little bit later. But I wanted to give a visual process of how we go from the old to the new. But when we stay close to all those things, when we stay close to the cake, we get caught up in that world, the world that we're trying to stay away from. And, hey, I'm really good. I'm better than these people that are eating it, right? But that's what ends up putting us in pride, right? And so there's an old line in a movie that a lot of y'all will know. Wax on, right hand. Wax off, left hand. Wax on, wax off, right? And all you Karate Kid fans, you know that when he was waxing on and waxing off, he was training his body to have muscle memory so that he could learn karate, right? And so when we take off and put on, and we take off and we put on, we spiritually train our brains to have, and our bodies and our spiritual backgrounds to have a spiritual, right, memory to it. And so it becomes a natural process. It becomes just something that falls in line, right? The same way when he gets in a fight, you know, he's in the ring and he starts doing the moves, the wax on, the wax off in the middle of it. And he's like, oh man, hey, now I understand. He didn't understand the process at first. He's like, man, you're making me wax this car. What? This has nothing to do with karate. This has nothing to do with it at all. And so when we take away the old, it's really not about cake and fruit, so I just want y'all to know that, right? It's really about our spiritual lives. But when we take off the cake, there's really nothing wrong with cake, is there? Man, it tastes good. Man, it looks good. Smells good, right? There's really nothing wrong with the cake. But man, this side over here is way better for you. And the thing is when you put that old off and put the new on, right, we get to see a different side of ourselves. We get to see the growth, right? And so right, and the thing is with this, it doesn't just come in one day, right? It's not just that, man, I walked away and came over here, right? This walk is a process. This walk is years. This walk is months. This walk is weeks, right, to get away from that. It's not just something you can say, okay, well, I'm going to lay that down. Now, there are some things that you could just lay down, but there are things that it's a process to get away from. And so I just want to show you a couple verses about what the new really is and how powerful the new is. And they're both in the book of Romans. So Romans 13:12 says that this night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Right? So putting off the deeds of darkness and putting on the armor of light. All right, so let's admit, we live in a dark world. And we see it every single day. We see destruction, disease, we see all these things, poverty, right? And so, wouldn't it be a good thing to put on the armor of light, right? To be the light for other people? And so, we go on, and he kind of ups the ante on this next verse in Romans 13:14. Not kind of, he really ups the ante on this next verse. It says, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and don't let yourself think of the ways to indulge your evil desires. Right? Even stronger than the armor of light, it's like putting on Jesus Christ. Right? You're carrying His strength, His compassion, His personality, His love, and His grace. Right? And you're carrying it to every circumstance that you come into this next year. Right? He empowers you to live a new kind of way. Now, you put on the new. There's many steps that we can take this next year, but there is a practical step that some of you may not have taken yet, right? And I want to be strongly encouraging for you to take this next step because it changes the way you see yourself. The Bible says this in Galatians 3:27, for as many of you were baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. Right? The Bible talks about a spiritual baptism and a physical baptism. Right? You're baptized into Christ. That's what that means. And so, when you put your faith into Him. Right? And if you haven't done that yet, right, you're in the perfect place. This is the perfect place to do that. Right? This is where we get to do that. This is the place where we feel connected, and there's people here that would love to talk to you about that. But but the thing is it's not based on what you can do, right? It's based on what He did, right? He came and lived His life for you, died on the cross for you, right? So right now, if you're thinking, you know, I don't know if I'm connected to Jesus or if I have a relationship with Jesus, He's saying, I want to give you that gift. And the way you accept it is simply by telling Him, I accept it. I accept what you're offering me. And in that moment, that's your spiritual baptism. Right? And in that moment, He comes in your life. Jesus told us He had to leave so that the Holy Spirit could come. Right? And the thing is, as I've said it multiple times, I don't know if you've heard it, but if Jesus still lived and tried to reach everybody, think about how long it would take Him to give each and every one of us just a minute of His time, right? I'm not okay with just a minute of His time. I need hours sometimes, you know. When I pray to Him, when I really need His guidance, man, it takes a while. It's not just something I can do. Hey, could you do this for me? Or hey, thank you for this. Or hey, thank you for that. Now, there are some times that I'm just, man, thank you for doing that for me. Man, hey, You've showed up in my life. I thank You for that. But there are times that I need a couple hours, right? So I'm not okay with just a minute. So He says that He's got to come so that all of us can have as much time as He wants, right? The thing is I wake up every morning and I fail at saying, hey, thank You for being who You are. Thank You for being there. I wake up, tell my kids good morning. I wake up, tell Taylor good morning. But a lot of times I don't wake up and say, God, thanks for being there. Thanks for, you know, when I'm driving down the road, He's sitting in the pastor's seat next to me. He's always willing to listen. Says He's always there and never leaves or forsakes us. Right? And so the Bible also talks about a physical baptism. And the physical baptism is to show others and also you that you have had the spiritual baptism. Right? When you get baptized physically, it doesn't save you. Right? The spiritual baptism is what saves you. But it tells others that you are in Christ now. It's the first step of their walk in Christ, right? It's our first step of obedience. Right? I've talked to a lot of people who think, you know, I'm just going to get baptized when I'm perfect. I'm going to get baptized when I get my life cleaned up. I'm going to get baptized when I get everything figured out, right? But I'm sorry to tell you, you won't ever get baptized that way. The thing is, we don't ever reach perfection until we get to heaven, right? We don't ever get to see that here on earth, right? That's something we strive for. That's something we try to be, but we don't get to see that, right? And so, and listen, baptism isn't the finish line for Christians, right? A lot of people think that baptism, man, that's where I'm trying to get. I'm trying to get baptized, right? Baptism is a starting block. Baptism is the start of the race, right? And so, one of the reasons, right, you might not have the power to see yourself in the new, right, when we talk about taking off the old and putting on the new, is because you haven't made that commitment yet, right? And I urge for you today, hey, at the end of this service, we're going to have a time where we're all going to be standing down here at front. I emphasize on this, man, do it today. You're not promised tomorrow. Maybe you've never felt worthy of it, but Jesus is saying, I'm the one that makes you worthy. So if you have been baptized, you know, I ask that you make it an important spiritual step today. Hey, come down. Come pray with us. Hey, there's nobody out here judging you, right? Hey, they want the best for you, right? They're going to praise that you did come down. So that's the first question. What do I need to put off and what do I need to put on? Right? The second question is, what are the closed doors, or where are the closed doors, and where are the open doors? And right, as we look towards the new year, God tells us that He knows He has a plan for us, right? We read that in Jeremiah. And we'd all like Him to download the plans into our minds so we could have a mental picture to look at anytime we wanted to, but it just doesn't work that way. Right, God's plans for you, they're not delivered. Right, they're discovered. And they're discovered oftentimes through the process of closed doors and open doors. And it's a process of faith. Let's look at these verses about open doors in our lives and the power that they have in them. 1 Corinthians 16:9, Paul writes and says, there's a wide open door for great work here, although many oppose me. Right? An open door is a place where God's working. And God is working in your life. And He is working in your circumstances. Right? He is working through your life. Right? That's a place for an open door. It might be in your finances, He opens the door. It might be in your family, He opens the door. It might be in your personal growth. It could even be in your ministry. Right? But notice, Paul says that many oppose me. Right? There's an open door, but there's also problems. Right? So don't think that problems mean that a door is not open, right? A lot of times an open door comes with problems, right? And so Paul says God's doing a great work here, even though there's some problems. There's something great about the doors that God opens, right? God opened a door. Hey, it did come with a little bit of problems. Man, there's a great opportunity here, right? We need to see that. Right, the next verse talks about God's open doors. Revelation 3:8, Jesus says, see, I have placed before you a door that no one can shut. Right? You see, when God opens a door, there's no one that can shut it. I know some of you are worn out from knocking on doors, and it might not just have been from the last year. It could have been from several years now, and you're weary and you're tired of trying to force door opens, and maybe they're good things. Maybe they're good doors, right? But they don't seem to open. And so let's make this next year, instead of trying to force doors open, let's look for the doors that God has opened, because nobody can shut those doors. All right, that's the kind of door we need in our life. And so the question is, how do we find those doors? And how do we find those open doors? Well, Acts 16:6-10 says this about Paul and his companions as they were spreading the gospel. They went to a region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word of God in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia by the Spirit of Jesus, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man in Macedonia standing and begging him to come over to Macedonia to help us. After Paul had seen this vision, we got up readily at once and left for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel. Right, and so reading this scripture, right, there's some really old names that don't quite roll off the tongue, but if you just say them confidently, everybody thinks you know what you're talking about. So just roll through it. That's my Bible study lesson for any of you guys that gets asked to read these verses, right, free of charge. So, that sounds like an open door, right? So as you look at this experience, I want you to notice there's two things that Paul kept doing, right? He kept trusting and he kept moving, right? First, he kept trusting. He kept trusting that God would open another door in his life. And sometimes we take closed doors a little too personally, right? When we see a closed door, we think that God's done with me, right? There's nothing else he has for me, right? But Paul tries to go into Asia, and the door's closed, right? He could have thought that, man, maybe God's done with me. Maybe this missionary journey's over. I'll just go home, right? But instead, he saw that it was a closed door and started to look for the open door. Right, and you start to think, right, and we look at our life and say, man, this business didn't work out, so God's done with me. Man, this thing I wanted to do this next year, it didn't pan out. Man, maybe God's done with me, right? He or she won't date me, high schoolers. God's done with me. Hey, that's not the case, right? And so you start to think that there's no open doors in my life, but that's not true, right? They're just closed doors. It doesn't mean that God doesn't have a plan for you, right? If you notice, it says here that they were kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia, right? What was wrong with preaching the word in the province of Asia? And why wouldn't the Holy Spirit let that happen? The answer is, I don't know, right? That's for the Holy Spirit to know. Right, and so as you look back on your life, and I can look back on my life, I see closed doors that were a good thing. I see that where they could have hurt me in a certain way, or maybe it was for somebody else to go through that door, because if I'd have went through that door, I couldn't have went through the door that God had opened for me. Right, and so most of the time, I don't know why God closes doors, right? But he does. He has a plan for us, a hope and a future. So you look for the open door and keep trusting. And I want you to notice it took closed doors to get them to the open door, right? It wasn't, for Paul, it wasn't just all open doors for him, right? And through all these people we see and all these things, I can guarantee you, I can ask anybody in here, man, have you ever entered into a closed door? The answer is yes. So this next year, let's make it a year of recognizing the blessing of closed doors on life. Like, thank you, God, for closing those doors. I've got multiple stories where I'm like, thank you, God, for shutting that door, right? If I would have tried to go through that door, I'd never been here today, right? And this isn't a door that I saw open to me, right? But it was a door that God wasn't shutting because he opened it. And so finally, because... Right, and so the second thing Paul did was he kept trusting, but he also kept moving. Right, there was a closed door. He saw that it was closed, so he kept moving from city to city. And finally, because he was moving, directed towards the door that God had opened, right, he found the door. Right, when you're moving, God can divert you. Right, when you're standing still, it's really hard to get you moving. And a lot of us, we get to a closed door in our lives and we really want it to be open, so we like to camp out at the closed door. Right? Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Right? You want to go through that door so bad that you're like, I'm just going to stay here until you open it, right? It doesn't work that way, right? And we say, God, I'm staying here till that door opens, and we like to call it faith, right? Man, I'm having faith that you will open this door. It's not faith. It's stubbornness, right? And let's just be honest, right? We're being stubborn. We're saying, God, this is the door that I want to open. And so we stay by the closed door, and we wonder why God isn't doing anything in our life. And God's saying, hey, that's a closed door. Man, get moving, and I'll direct you to the open door, right? And by the way, sometimes when we're moving, right, he directs us right back to the door we were sitting at. But the thing is, we had to start moving first. Paul trusted, and he kept moving, and eventually he got to Troas. Now, Troas wasn't the open door, right? It wasn't the place that he was going. It was a place where God was working, right? It was a place where he gave him the vision of Macedonia, where he saw where the open door was going to be. Now, you see, a lot of us want to go straight from the closed door to the open door. Like, God, if you could put them right next to each other, that'd be great. Like, I could really use that. But it's usually never that way. It's hardly ever that way. And there's almost always a Troas, right? Somewhere in between, and it feels like you're at a dead end, but it's not, right? You're at a place where God is going to show you the next door open in your life. So this next year, one of the questions we ask ourselves through this year is, God, where is the open door? Right? I feel like I'm standing at a closed door. Where's the open door? And so the third question is a simple question, right? And we can ask ourselves as we begin this new year is, what seems important and what's truly important, right? And as you turn the page on the new year, it's a great time to look at priorities as what is most important and what we need to do first. And God tells us again and again in the Bible that it's easy for humans to get stuck in what seems important. And by that, we miss what is truly important. Jesus understands this about us, and he talks about it all the time. One of the places that he talks about this is the Sermon on the Mount. And here's what Jesus had to say about it. In Matthew 6:25-33, therefore I tell you, do not worry about the life, about your life, what you will eat or drink, or your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? But seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all things will be given to you. Taylor has probably heard me say that verse thousands of times. Every time we run into something, I go back to this. I'm like, man, hey, that's something we want. But hey, why are we worried about that? He says, seek first his kingdom, seek first his righteousness, right? And then all these things will be given to you. So Jesus is saying, food seems important, right? We all need it to survive. But the life that the food sustains, that's what's truly important, right? Clothes seem important, but the body that God created, that you're putting those clothes on, is what's truly important, right? He's saying, here's these things seem important, but God's plans for your life, God's kingdom, and what God sees truly important, right? That's what the top bar is. That's what we should really be focused on. And if you get stuck on what seems important, you miss the truly important. But did you notice what Jesus said right there at the very end? He said, all these things will be added to you as well. There's a promise there. Jesus is saying, if you focus on what's truly important, guess what? I'll give you all those other things. Right? The things you're so worried about, the things that you think that you have to make a priority in your life. Hey, if you'll put first my kingdom, those other things will come to you. So God has a way of doing that. He has a powerful way of doing that in our lives. Right? And this verse, you might circle the two words, seek first. Right? You want to start a new year? Seek first. Right? Take time to seek first what God puts first. And I don't know any other way of doing it besides quiet time. Getting into the Scripture. Right? That's where He really gets to talk to us. You can't just walk around and never read your Bible and never really pray to Him or anything and expect Him to speak to you. Right? It's called God's Word for a reason. Right? And so when we get into a daily time in His Word, right, we get to see what He gets to tell us and how He gets to tell us, because it's where He tells us and empowers us to live this kind of life. If I spend daily time in God's Word, I understand what God puts first. Right? He reminds me again and again, but also through His Word gives me power to live. This putting time in God's Word, right? It's something we see, and it's a tough deal. I'll admit it. But man, start with 15 minutes. Start with 30 minutes. Start with 5 minutes. Man, just read some verses and pray to Him. Man, just spend some time with Him, because when you spend more time with Him, when you read 2 or 3 verses or you take 2 or 3 minutes, right? If you do this for 6 weeks, you establish a habit that just starts a natural process, right? The putting off the old and putting on the new, right? We start this natural process and we start this habit that will last the rest of your life. But if you're going to make important what God says is important, then one of the things we have to do is dive into His Word daily. Because He reminds us of what God puts first. Right? So now, what does God put first? Right? That's a question you're all probably thinking. And there's a lot of you in here that already know it. Right? And so in Matthew 25, 36 to 39, Jesus answers that question, and it's good to hear it at the first of the new year, right? It reads, "Teacher," somebody in the crowd asked Him, "what command of the law is the most important?" And Jesus answered, "Love your Lord God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind." Right? This is the first and the most important command, right? And the second command is like the first. Love your neighbor as you would love yourself. Love God and love people. Right? That's what makes it a new year. Right? You love God and you love people, and that's so I want to go back to the word seek. Seek first the kingdom of God and righteousness. Right? What are you going to seek first this next year? What are you going to chase after this next year? What are you going to pursue with all your heart, all your mind, and all your soul this next year? What are you going to put first? Because Jesus is inviting us to an entirely different way of living. He's invited us to flip things, and we usually tend to seek and chase and pursue, right? Right? And so it might be good success we're chasing. It might be honorable success. It might be success for our family. It might be success for our business. It might be success in our personal life that we want to achieve. And so we pursue that and hope and pray that the relationship will fall into place. But Jesus says, flip that and pursue loving God. Right? Love your God. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, and your soul. Right? This year, reverse your priorities and start with love. Love your God. Rather than starting with, I want to have a successful year. I want to have all these things. I want to make this much money. I want to do this with my business. I want to do that with these people, right? But Jesus is telling us that the way that this starts making sense and starts changing itself when we flip it, right? It's the decisions we make, right? And by making the decision to reverse it and start with God, right, is the most important decision we can make this next year. Right? This next year, my number one definition for success is I'm going to love God and I'm going to love others. Right? This is what I'm going to chase after. And the Bible says in Galatians 5:6, what is important is faith expressed in love. Right? It's not a bad verse to put on a refrigerator. It's not a bad verse to put in your office, in your car. Right? What is important is faith expressing its love in 2025 for it to be different than 2024. Right? For me, I've got to be different in 2025 so that I don't have the same year I had in 2024. Right? It's not about your circumstances either. Right? It's about you. It's not about what's going on around you. God knows all that stuff. It's about you. Man, the cake's really close. Right? But I have the decision to walk over there. Right? I have the decision to turn that. I have the power to do that. And so you've got to be different this next year, right? You've got to care different, you've got to choose different, you've got to commit differently. And so what I want to end with is the opportunity for a commitment. Right? If you say, I'm in, and I want to do this next year, right? I'm willing to make this year a new year. I'm willing to change everything that I've been chasing, everything that I've thought was the right way, and I'm going to chase what God sees. I'm going to look for the open doors. I'm going to put on the good, and I'm going to put off the bad. I'm going to make my priorities God's priorities. Right? And I'm not perfect. I'm going to struggle sometimes, right? But this is my intention, right? And I think it should be your intention too. And so this is my commitment. And I'd like to end with this and with a time of commitment. And do you all pray with me? So, Father, I want this year of enjoying and following the good plans that you have for me. Lord, as I look to the beginning of this next year, Lord, I make these three commitments. I commit to putting off the old and putting on the new. I commit to stop staying in the closed doors and start looking for the open ones. I commit to seek first your kingdom and your plans for my life. Lord, I put first my love for you and my love for others. I make these commitments knowing that I need Jesus' strength. And I make these commitments in faith that I will keep your promises. The promises that you have good plans for me. Lord, I lean on that. That you have a future for me. You have a hope for me. And in light of those promises, I want this year to be a year of chasing the goal to win the prize of all that you have called me. This is my commitment. This is my prayer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.